Hello and welcome to another episode of the Microsoft Spotlight Podcast. Today, it's just me at the moment. John is just caught up with some customer work, but hopefully he'll be with me a bit shortly. And today, we are joined by Chris Wheeler, who is a senior technical specialist at Microsoft?
It's supposed to be Teams technical specialist, but obviously with Copilot being a majority, I just tend to call myself a technical specialist now.
Yeah, no worries. Chris is with us today because I know very much he's a very active male ally within the community. He actually came to Safe Coast Summit last year and joined our panel and put in some very good insight into what Microsoft do and how he works as a male ally. So I thought, you know, it'd be good to get you on and obviously share that with the wider audience. So first of all, do you want to just give an introduction about yourself, what you're currently doing, and then we'll dive into all the other stuff as well.
Yeah, not a problem. So, as mentioned, I'm Chris. I'm technical specialist at Microsoft. I joined around October 2022. So, yeah, literally just coming close to a good, you know, year and a bit now. So, it's been a really good journey. I originally come from partner as well. So I've kind of worked my way up to joining Microsoft. If you can tell from my very thick West Country accent, I'm from Devon. I've lived here pretty much all my life and started off with partners in the Southwest. And then I think during COVID was a pretty interesting time because, you know, the recruitment aspect changed where, you know, London companies could then expand their search for different breadths of the UK, which is great. And then for someone like me, it was good to work for a London company and a decent salary without actually having to travel to London. So it worked out really well. But I first started off in sales, funnily enough. So in the world of IT, I think I've been in this for about 12 years now. Started off in account management, focusing on Microsoft licensing, would you believe it? Very, very complex. It was
very
quite
dark
to
art as well.
There's so much. Yeah, it was just so complex. And I think the type of character, I love puzzles. I love, you know, doing those sort of things, dissecting certain things. It was good. It came naturally. And then after that, Office 365 was a pretty, dominant force coming through. Everyone wanted to know what this, you know, cloud technology was. So I got the chance to go work up at Microsoft on a contract for 3 days a week. So got to go up to Reading to Thames Valley Park. So I was there for about 6-7 months. I think from there, I kind of knew that this was the place I wanted to work at. So like there was a complete culture change. It was such a great eye-opener to see what was happening, you know, outside of Devon as well. And I guess that's kind of where like the male allyship also came in as well, but also, you know, just the different allyships as well around, you know, things like ethnicity, religion, you know, the things which were quite limited down in the Southwest. So I come from a very small stannery town, so it was very much like patriarchal. It was very much, you know, the men used to go off work, you know, fields, you know, mining, or, you know, down the quarries and stuff. And then, you know, it was very much a really, you know, black and white. It was very much, you know, and, you know, as well as that, you know, the whole women in tech was very reduced as well. So I've been quite fortunate. I think I've worked with quite a majority. I think about 78% of all my managers have been women. I grew up in a women household as well, so I think that's kind of come quite naturally with the male allyship as well. Just to throw that one in. So after COVID, I then went to work for a company called Modality that then transitioned into Navstar. I had a little bit of a stint at Sicilian, where obviously John's from as well. But it was a bit of bad timing because I then got the role at Microsoft, which is very, very unfortunate because I really enjoyed my time at Sicilian, you know, however short that was. But unfortunately, it was just really bad timing and, you know, unfortunate really. So I basically work now in, you know, in a team full of other modern work specialists. I have I've got Aliv as well that you know very well, who I kind of call my partner in crime. We work in completely different verticals, but when I first joined Microsoft, we kind of like radiated towards each other quite a bit, just from, I think it was firstly our personalities, but also where we could help each other as well. So Aliv, as you know, is like very resourceful. She knows so many people. She knows what she wants as well, which is really inspiring. So it's kind of like the first bit of where, that's obviously where she nominated me as well to have a chat on the South Coast Summit. And then I got the chance to kind of, you know, show like, you know, the things that, you know, makes me I wouldn't say a strong, I don't like the word strong. It's just how I can kind of be the best person that I can be and how I can help other people be the best that they can be as well.
Yeah.
But no, that's kind of grown as well. So, you know, I work with, a majority of women as well through, through basic introductions, through just, you know, being my true self as well. You know, trying to, you know, be very conscious about my own, you know, unconscious bias or, you know, the way that I might emotionally react to things. So it's not a completed project. It's always evolving. It's always growing for me as well, which is great. There's certain things I still need to do as well. But this is a little bit, from my side, obviously, where I've come from. And, you know, through being very limited to where things are in Devon, through no fault. It's just obviously, I think, you know, being in a remote part of the UK is quite impactful on the culture. But obviously then growing and going working at Microsoft to be, you know, fully immersed in so many different resource groups. There's such a big community as well at Microsoft, which I really do appreciate. And it's not just for women. There's loads of others around, you know, disabilities, there's military. I kind of got really drawn to sort of, you know, women in tech and, you know, the other things as well that goes along with that. So things around family, I mentioned about ethnicity and religion as well. So there's loads of different resources that we can tap into, which have definitely helped as well, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I've spoken to obviously quite a few people from Microsoft UK and see a lot of stuff that I put on LinkedIn. I'm like, that's really interesting. Why don't other companies do that? And obviously Microsoft are doing a very good job in promoting that through obviously the power of LinkedIn through their own staff. I know I always mention her name. So again, second episode in the row, Tina Shepherd, she posted something ages ago about returning mothers to Microsoft and stuff they're doing there. And I saw that there's loads of like Microsoft baby grows being sent out and packaged for, you know, mothers that are going on maternity leave. So yeah, I can see that, you know, as a company, Microsoft do a lot to support staff and all the different variations that, you know, are a part of general life. So it's like the equality, diversity, inclusion.
Yeah.
It's obviously nice to see, you know, organizations doing that. And obviously from myself and the company I work for, you know, I'm trying to basically push them boundaries as well.
Yeah, absolutely. It's something that we are encouraged to do naturally by ourselves. You know, they always encourage thought leadership and, you know, to bring our authentic selves and be, you know, be the best that we can be. There's also things like incentives as well, where, you know, we do get asked to provide, I wouldn't say evidence, but just, you know, the sort of things that we have been doing to, you know, help other people succeed. And obviously that now allyship falls in that slot as well. And also building on the success of others as well, you know, where, you know, women have had an impact on you, for example, and where you've built on that success as well. So, you know, for a really good example is Aleph. You know, I wouldn't be where I am without her. So I definitely call that out quite a lot. So, and I'm completely honest about that as well. There's no, you know, for me, there's like absolutely no resistance or anything to say, well, actually, you know, I, as an individual, I've done all this by myself. I can't do it without people. So, you know, Aleph's definitely one of those that really, you know, firstly inspires me, but also, you know, without her, I probably wouldn't be where I am today, to be honest. So, yeah, it's really good.
That's really good to hear. Obviously, hopefully people can, you know, see that partnership with a colleague has obviously helped you look at yourself and your career and obviously how you want to basically progress. I mean, it's one of the things, obviously, it's an unconscious bias sometimes. So when you look at sending emails, it could be males and females in that email. And then the one thing that I'm trying to make sure that I don't do anymore is put "hi guys."
Yeah.
Because it's that, you know, it may sound a little bit daft, but it is obviously trying to address people correctly in the right manner. Yeah. And the one thing I've always tried to pride myself on is being a bit of a social chameleon. So when I walk into a room, I'm able to engage people on all different levels. I mean, I'm from very much a working background. My parents, you know, work in Asda and was a truck driver. So then going up the extra levels is making sure that I can, you know, speak at the correct tone. And sometimes I have something to talk about as well. So I use things that I basically do. So like, you have to referee and paintball, you know, I'm a football coach. So all them kind of things are like the conversation starters. And obviously this podcast is another conversation starter. So
yeah, it's really, it was really funny because I listened to your last podcast with Pete, and I knew that you were a football coach anyway from when we spoke at South Coast Summit, but obviously yours and John's sons are goalkeepers.
Yes. As well. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool. Yeah. I'm a goalkeeper myself actually, and yeah, it's a really fine art actually, but also it's also a very dangerous one as well. So I've just broke my finger last year, so it's quite a dangerous, you know, it's quite a dangerous thing as well, that position.
It is, and as I say, you know, obviously I don't want to talk about football too much, I've talked about it all day, but yeah, obviously being a goalkeeper and having that support as well. So I'm his coach, I'm his parent as well. So I'm trying to address him in a certain way because he will always see me, is dad having a go? No, it's coach trying to help me.
Yeah.
So that's like another way of like, I have to learn my tone of voice when speaking to him because on Sunday, you know, my lad made a mistake. The ball came out of the air instead of going down. So going up and collecting it in the air.
Yeah,
he was told to do, highest point. He went down to his knees to collect it and then backed off his head into the back of the net.
Yeah.
These things happen.
No, it's quite good as well. I think goalkeepers are great because, you know, part of it is also understanding body language as well. So, like, you know, that's also quite good to take in the meetings to assess how people are reacting to you. But you mentioned about that chameleon thing. I think that's that's really impactful. I've got something very, very similar where I've mentioned this before, but sometimes I'm a little bit conscious that sometimes it can come across as not negative, but for me, if I go into a room, I always try and practice the art of irrelevance. So, like, you know, with your chameleon, it's kind of, you know, adjusting and kind of, you know, doing that. When I go into a meeting, it's kind of, or even just working in general, if someone approaches me, for me, it's trying to teach myself that it doesn't matter who you are, as long as I can be the best person I could be into helping that person, regardless if they're male, female, straight, gay, black, you know, any sort of background there as well. But as well as that, there's also that appreciation that there is prejudice. There is a load of, you know, that there is that you know, privilege as well that has spanned across many, many years as well. So to kind of accept that and also appreciate that, but also moving forwards, to still give people that same level of respect and professionalism regardless. I think that's something that I value quite highly, and something that I kind of, you know, work towards quite a bit. But then I also appreciate that sometimes I'm very emotional. I do get stressed out. I do, you know, that there is that element of me. unfortunately, it could be my upbringing, could just be like the way that I've grown up. I don't know. But there's also that bit as well. And I think I've been quite fortunate to, you know, have those therapy sessions before in the past. You know, when things haven't been going right with myself, I do look for help. So there was something that I picked up on a lot with one of the therapists I used to see, but she kind of mentioned something about what we call an emotional snow globe, and it still sticks with me to this day. And when there's loads of stuff going on, whether that's in your personal life or your role, the snow globe starts to form and you see all these things trickling around you, and it's very difficult to manage things. And all it literally takes is just a little trigger or something which then generates an emotional response. And that's where, obviously, that's where not the problem, so that's where, you know, you could start lashing out or say something where your unconscious bias comes into things, or, you know, some things that you really do regret saying later on. But on their side, who you're directing that to, they don't really understand that snow globe. It's only yourself. So it's kind of like internal work that you have to do yourself on how to manage that and how to just, sometimes there was something as well that they taught us as well about, if you've got like a spiraling plane that's going into a corkscrew and it's out of control, they said, you know what the best thing is to do that? And obviously that spiraling plane could be like your emotions or what's happening in the moment. The best thing to do in that situation, I don't know, I haven't tried this before, I'm not a pilot, but the best thing is just to let go. And that's another thing as well that I've picked up really, really nicely, is that, you know, when things really get out of control, if there's so much going on, it's just really great to just kind of take a step back, let go, take a breather, assess yourself, you know, understand what's going on before you could make a really wrong, or like you could make a decision or a choice that could really impact somebody else. Based on your own opinions, based on your own bias as well. So there's a few things that I work on. I'm no way perfect at this as well. This is always like a continuous practice as well. So, you know, I do it in my job, I do it in my personal life with my wife as well. You know, we're going through a lot of stuff at the moment, which, involves, we're going through IVF at the moment. I'm not ashamed to admit it, but we're trying to plan for a family. And that, of course, has a load of pressure and stress as well, especially with, you know, expectations from ourselves, but also, you know, friends and family that we want to try and, you know, try and include in our journey as well. So, yeah, there's a load of stuff, I think, emotionally and psychologically that does impact, being a great male ally as well. But yeah, definitely when you're going into a room, back to your point, Andy, around, you know, how to address people in the right way, how to, like you say, as a chameleon, how to really, you know, get on their level. So yeah, it's an interesting, it's an interesting sort of practice.
Yeah, I mean, it only came about because, I mean, when I first started in the world of IT, you know, I was very much, you know, doing desktop noddy work. And then for the company I was working for, a company called HomeServe, they did like a home emergency policies.
I know, yeah. HomeServe used to be one of our accounts in Devon at the partner I used to work at.
Yeah, so I used to work at HomeServe in the very early days. But like they started getting us before like home working was even a thing. I was actually going out to lots of different homes up in like the Preston, Lancashire area, that kind of way. Basically setting up desktops for people, and from that I then obviously was going to homes of people that I didn't know, so I had tried to have that appreciation. I mean, there were a couple of people's faces I went into, he's like, I feel a bit uncomfortable here, so it's having to, like, you know, learn how to deal with that. I mean, I remember going into one home and it was like an Asian family, and I literally like, yeah, come in, make sure you take your shoes off. Going up, they took us upstairs into a bedroom. There's like two like single beds, two like desks, and setting these two desktops for these people to work. And it's like, while I'm doing that, I was thinking like fed samosas, pakoras. It's like they're really trying like welcome me into their home as much as possible.
Yeah.
And that's where I kind of like started learning that I need to address people in different ways, because I can go into, I mean, my background is, you know, I've got, you know, Jamaican heritage, and I'm very proud of that. I mean, I went all over Birmingham the other day just to find this special bottle of brown nephew rum that I've got sitting over here. Actually, that's right here, actually. There we go. It's like a limited edition special bottle. And basically, I don't know if you can see it too on the camera, yeah. But on the bottle itself, it's the actual parish where my granddad's from.
Oh,
and it's like an image of it. And I've done like a special run of it for the like 60th anniversary of Jamaican independence last year.
It's got a lot of sentimental value.
For me, yeah. But you trying to use my heritage, because I don't look, mixed race. And obviously, I know that term's quite banned, but I still use it. But I don't look mixed race as much as I should, because my mother doesn't. My mother is like half white, half Jamaican, but right. She looks Greek in the way she looks. So she never really, not like the usual looking of a Caribbean person. So I try and like use how I look as a person and just mold myself into situations, because I can empathize from the black community. I can empathize from a white community because of my Irish heritage there as well. So it's, yeah, I always try and just like look at the people in the room and go, well, I can probably go and talk to that person quite easily because they look similar to me. Mm. And I know probably they're coming from a different, what's that saying, background as me. Or I look in and go, well, yes, that's me. In one part of my, you know, DNA that I can go, oh yeah, I can go and talk and I can see what they want to talk about.
Yeah.
And I think obviously when it comes to like talking to women in the workplace, I found that very more natural because, you know, I'm in a professional environment, so I have to basically make sure that I'm not being an idiot. I am basically giving them enough respect and trying to show that, you know, we're on the same par, especially when we work in the same team as well.
Yeah. One thing that something that I have a strict rule on as well is not to steal the spotlight as well. I find there's a lot of things about male allyship where, you know, you're trying to obviously try and be the best male ally that you can be. You're there to support them, but not in a way that you're there to steal that spotlight as well.
Yeah.
And also as well, not to like come across as their protector as well. I found that to be quite an interesting concept, because, you know, if you are a good male ally You know, there's ways in which you can go in kind of say, yep, I'm a male ally, or there was something as well where there's kind of like not a trick, but there's like a step process that I follow as well. I mentioned it at South Coast Summit where
you did, yes.
It was the ally for one, ally for many, ally to all as well. So I'm nowhere near the ally to all. I'm still at the ally to many, but you know, the ally to all is, there's certain conditions where, you know, if everyone knows you and you've got that reputation and that respect, then, you know, the other thing as well is male allyship is also reciprocal. I find I can't just go to somebody and say, hey, I'm going to be your male ally. You know, it has to be like a reciprocal thing, but also, you know, to a way that's comfortable for the other person as well, because at times where, you know, you may be too strong of an ally, they might think that, okay, you're trying to protect me or you want something as well. So there needs to be some sort of, you don't agree to this sort of thing. It just happens. Like, it's like what happened with me and Aleph. You know, I've got it with another colleague called Raki. I support a colleague called Heidi. It's just one of those nice organic things where you have that common understanding that, you know, I'm not here to take, you know, the attention. I'm not here to overstep you. I'm not here to, you know, do these sort of things where previously it might have been deemed, you know, but that might just be bias or, you know, certain historical things that have happened as well. So I kind of like that, you know, that understanding that, you know, I'm not here to overtake you. I'm here to support you and be the best I can be. There's always going to be that. I'm not going to lie that to say, look, you know, I have somewhere that I want to go in life, but actually I want to help other people. But that helping, that doesn't just come organically as well. That comes from, you know, where I've come from historically, the culture that I'm embedded in as well at Microsoft as well. So I tend to find that, you know, I tend to kind of, you know, I know we try and get asked or not asked, it's something of a sort of thing where if you are a male ally, don't be afraid to speak up and defend, don't be afraid to give people the chance to speak, don't be afraid to do these sort of things. But there's also a line which if you do overstep it, it could be deemed as quite a negative experience as well. So it's kind of managing that as well as being a useful. That's why I don't like the use word strong, because if you're too strong, it could be deemed as, you know, you're protecting your,
yeah,
you know. So there's a nice sort of healthy balance. I'm gonna quote Big Shaq and say there's a balance, not a natural.
Yeah, I know your relationship with Avlev as well, because you know, you came into the presentation for us in my organisation, and I could see literally that when you were speaking, you're always kind of on the side thinking about, well, am I speaking too much? And then you've got basically going over to Aleph and getting her to put her input into that call as well.
Yeah, there's no like interrupting. There's always, it doesn't go as far to say we don't finish each other's sentences. That would be really creepy. But we've got that. We've also got a really good chemistry as well. I find that, you know, people see that energy. They see that, you know, we bounce off each other really, really nicely. And I think that really helps us in our careers when we're talking to customers. So there's really, you know, obviously there's a benefit to our role as well. You know, don't get me wrong. It's like, you know, we are helping each other to succeed, but also how we're doing that is extremely important. So I've made it a very conscious, or sorry, an unconscious sort of, you know, training exercise. It's usually more difficult when you're on Teams calls because, you know, with the impact of technology, I don't know when someone's finishing or when someone's going to speak up, and unless you're in a room. So that's something else that we're trying to work on. So it's a little bit more difficult online, but obviously face to face is brilliant because, you know, you can see that energy. You can see, you know, we feed off each other really well. You know, I look to her for support or inspiration. She does the same. So yeah, it works extremely well. But then that also applies to all the other female colleagues that I work with as well, or even the female colleagues that I've worked with in the past. I mentioned, you know, some of the most managers that I've had have all been female, and I've learned so much off them as well. So
obviously in the last call, obviously with Peter, we basically mentioned, you know, he only got into IT because of, you know, a woman in tech.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And that's the one thing that in my career, I've never had a female manager. I've always had male managers going through. Starting from basically when I was like 17 as an apprentice up to my present day, I've never been a female manager that I've had to report into. It's always been males, but there has been females that are basically within the team that I've worked with, and they've kind of, you know, been helping them, or unconsciously I've been helping them understand some of the stuff that I'm sharing my experience, because I look at my career path. You know, I have been across, you know, quite a few different organisations. I mean, I think where I'm at now is My second longest, maybe my longest job that I've had within the IT space within the 20 years since I've been doing IT. My approach in my earlier years was basically I want to basically climb the ladder as quick as I possibly can, learn as much as I can and absorb it in to get into the position I'm in today, where, you know, I am quite comfortable in life. I do quite well in what I'm doing, but I know there's still obviously how Microsoft starts to change everything on a daily basis. There's still stuff that I have to basically learn along the way. But you know, with the organization that I'm in, I want to basically support as much, you know, as many people as possible within the business and share my experiences, especially apprentices, because I came from an apprentice background. I knew though how difficult it is. You know, when I went into I went to a private hospital, and I was basically like learning how to become the person I am, because I'd have to deal with not only just patients, I was dealing with consultants, you know, people that, you know, on the ladder, you know, are in a higher position than me. Hi, John, nice to see you here.
Hiya.
But it's having to say that, and that's where, you know, it's learning, because also being an apprentice is very tough, because you're entering the working world for the very first time. And you need to understand the hierarchy within a business, because, you know, you don't want to basically say something that's going to get you in trouble, because you're an apprentice, you can get released quite easily. So, yeah, I like going in and talking to apprentices and going, this is my career path. This is what I've done. This is how I've got there. There's nothing stopping you from doing exactly the same.
Yeah.
Right, John, all we're doing, John, was talking about, you know, Matt Allyship, you know, talking about careers.
Awesome.
Yeah, you know, obviously focus on, obviously, you know, the stuff that we spoke about at South Coast Summit as well, which obviously you were there for.
I was. That was a good day. Good day.
It was a very good day. I say it was a very good presentation that we did, because I say it was, even though it was literally a round table that we had, or oblong table, as John likes to call it, a round table session, you know, we did have quite a few people in that room, and it was nice to get the male allies that actually came to that session involved in the conversation as well.
Yeah, I think kind of in that South Coast Summit, compared to what we had like the years previously, like there was a lot more male attendance and people were actually speaking up. If I think back to years previously, when we'd done the sessions, I thought obviously we had Pete in the audience in the second one, and in the crowd there was one or two. Was it Will Hopkins? Obviously, was it Will?
Yeah, Will Hopkins.
Yeah, that was mate. I remember the name. Will Hopkins kind of really spoke up in previous ones, but that was, I think, kind of about it. I just remember Storm and Sophie and a lot of other people talking up. But yeah, it was good to have this round table with a lot of different voices as well.
Yeah, the impact of that was really great as well, because me and Al have got asked to just do a presentation slot for one of the guys that attended for his business. And funny enough, Andy George has introduced me to some really great contacts at Santander. So I'm doing a slot with them on International Women's Day on the 8th of March. So that'll be really great. And it's good because, like, for me, you know, I'm still quite... You know, I mentioned before, I'm still quite new to Microsoft, but also the whole, you know, the male allyship is, you know, for me, it's always a constant learning experience. It's never going to stop for me. So, you know, just to show, you know, some of the thoughts and techniques that I use in my day to day is definitely radiating with a wider community, which is great. So, to feed that into multiple organizations, for me, it's fantastic, I think.
Yeah, I mean, we've never had, obviously, a male ally on this podcast from Microsoft. Obviously, we've had so many women on talking about, obviously, all the different women's networks within the business. Is there a definitive male ally champions, like, group? I mean, I know in my organisation there is. So we have, like, you know, monthly calls, trying to have conversations. But is anything like that in Microsoft as well?
There is in one of the sub-level resource groups. So there are... I'm not too sure who the champions are, but it does fall under women in tech. So, you know, that is very much the the overarching resource group that we adhere to, and then that fizzles down into, you know, you mentioned before, Tina's a really great advocate of the families at Microsoft. You know, there's Black Women in Tech, there's loads of different resource groups that falls under the main overarching one, and then there is a male allyship one there as well with loads of different. I tell you what, the amount of websites and all the resources that people have worked on, that's my source of knowledge for me when I first joined Microsoft. Is, and actually it was really good because when Copilot got launched, I could just say, look, you know, how can I be a really good male ally, and it finds all that information for me as well, which is, you know, a massive time saver as well. Sorry, just do a little bit of marketing in here as well. But yeah, for me, it's you do get the power of contacts through, you know, through our Microsoft Graph. It does show you people that have been actively contributing to, you know, to PowerPoint documents. I wouldn't say there's a massive overarching champion. I think that probably fizzles out into region specific. I think for the UK is quite prominent. We do have a few really great male allies that we can rely on and we can go to. It probably differs between countries as well, depending on, I guess, the culture or, you know, what the focus is for that area. But yeah, certainly for the UK, it's in my experience, it's been, you know, it's been a really great contributing community, especially to help women in tech as well.
So, just a question about that. I've said my thoughts on the word ally and everything like that in previous shows and stuff, but how do you get away in the stigma of just a bunch of like possibly a bunch of white guys talking about women in tech and that side of it? And I'll come back to something as well, and that was in the Barbie movie, and you go through and they get to the top level where it's all the C-suite of people that work within Barbie, and it's all like white middle-aged men talking about like what other people want. How do you kind of stop that? How do you stop that, basically?
Yeah, I think for me, it's obviously that it's a historical piece with, you know, when you look at that hierarchical sort of structure, that obviously needs to change. I preach that. I think from my own sense, I was speaking to Andy about this, and I think for me, it's kind of having that. I train myself to try and make it as irrelevant as possible, and that sounds quite bad, but for me, it's a trick where whoever's sitting across the table from me, whoever I'm speaking to on a Teams call, for me, I build in an irrelevance where, for me, it doesn't matter who you are, if you're male, female, black, white, gay, straight, as long as I can still give you the professionalism, the courtesy, the respect and the support. But that irrelevance also doesn't mean that I don't appreciate what's happened previously with privilege or adversity or anything really around that, to say, actually, I'm aware that these things have happened before. I'm aware that those things still exist today. So for me, it's kind of having that irrelevance to say, look, I can treat you, I don't have any, well, I try and make sure that I don't have any unconscious bias. I mentioned to Andy about having like a snow globe or like an emotional response to things where sometimes unconditional bias comes in, or there might be certain things going on in my life where I could, you know, really sort of go the other way and maybe possibly speak to someone in the wrong manner, or, you know, I'm not addressing the situation as well as I should. So there's things I'm working on. It's obviously not an end. It's not never completed. It's always ongoing. But there's the irrelevance, but the appreciation and the understanding and awareness piece as well that helps me to you know, help whoever. And then I mentioned that it's also reciprocal as well. So when that person then feeds back to say, actually, you have given me that respect, I'm going to now, you know, collaborate, or, you know, we're going to work together on things, that's where those really great relationships happen. And to the point where I was saying before, I don't like the word strong ally. I don't like the word strong, because you could be overly too strong, where you could be deemed as, you know, being that protector. You could be deemed as, you know, I'm overly nice to you, that means you want something from me. You know, there's sort of like the perception there as well that I try to work on as well, to say, look, you know, I really don't want anything. I just want to help. Because if we work together, we are both successful. It helps us in our role. It obviously helps Microsoft as well, because, you know, that's the culture of helping each other. That's what Satya really drives in our organization. Mm-hmm. It's actually one of the key pillars that we've got, you know, in our reviews as well. How do we help other people succeed? And how do we also build on the success of others? you know, I certainly won't be here without the success of my female colleagues as well, that I, you know, I'm not ashamed to admit as well. So, you know, there's a piece around the perception, there's a piece around, you know, really working on your own self to help that. And then hopefully from the ground up, that then helps, you know, with the hierarchy, and that then changes that as well. So that's obviously where the communities help, that's where people share their thoughts.
Sorry for coming in and asking such a down crest question as such, but I'm very conscious that we are two white guys and one mixed race guy talking about, sorry.
Johnny missed it. I was talking about my bottle of rum as well. Look, my special bottle of rum that I got, you know. I had to go all over the place to get it, but you know,
do you get what I mean? Like, I'm very much conscious that we are three middle-aged guys talking about women in tech and stuff. So it's something that I'm very always conscious about, especially where we are.
It certainly questions our experience and our awareness of these sort of things. You know, it's certainly one thing talking about it, the next thing is actually doing what we're saying.
Yeah, 100%, yeah.
You know, and as well as that, I'm very fortunate that I've worked with some, you know, incredible women over, you know, the 12 years I've been in tech. You know, my first 5 years at Grey Matter in the Southwest, you know, I was under the management of probably one of the best account managers I've ever worked with, called Lisa. And she taught me everything I knew about, you know, the world of sales, about account management. She knew a lot of stuff. And for, you know, without her, I would literally, you know, I would never have, you know, probably stayed in tech, I would have thought, because as a new person, you know, as you, like you said, Andy, you know, if you start off as an apprentice, you don't want to say the wrong things or do the wrong things. So she was so supportive of that. And she showed me exactly how she dealt with certain situations and challenges. So for me, going off to be another successful account manager, you know, that for me is all down to my manager. So, and then of course, growing up with two women, my mother and my sister, unfortunately dad wasn't really in the equation too much. So, you know, learning more about what happens, you know, outside of work as well has been generally helpful. So I'm quite fortunate with that experience, I think. I'm certainly not the expert. I'm never going to be the expert, but you know, we can only do so much as male allies to help grow and support and nurture. And, you know, I was saying about not stealing spotlights, not taking over, not, you know, where I think previously it has been deemed as possible. I was saying before about, you know, the town that I grew up in, very patriarchal, very much, you know, male dominated. You know, we all go down the pub and, you know, we get home and dinner's cooked and stuff. It was just always, you know, a bit tricky being in the Southwest with that sort of viewpoint. So, but no, with the help of, well, I know it sounds really bad, but with the help of COVID, you know, you kind of move to like London, you know, London companies where there's a bit more of a wider culture and appreciation, understanding as well. But obviously for me, women in tech was always there when I first started as well. So I think that was quite important, quite beneficial for me.
I mean, from everything you've basically said, it kind of lines up to the charter that I helped basically develop within my organisation. I mean, the charter was basically broken down into four pillars. It was basically being informed, so basically understanding where all the policies are for supporting obviously women in tech, diversity, you know, ethnicity, race, all that kind of stuff. Being visible, which obviously you do because you're active with Avlev, you do stuff with Avlev through obviously like LinkedIn. I saw like the video series that you do, and obviously the sessions you do with customers, sharing your experience, which I know that you do as well through the presentations that you do. But then the other one that we have is be a leader for change. So basically being that person that understands all the benefits within the business of being, you know, supporting diversity and identify opportunities to support and develop women as well within the business, which I know that, again, you do that as well. So everything I've basically put in my little charter, you kind of like do within your organization.
No, that sounds, you know, it sounds fantastic. And, you know, if you start doing that and people then start to notice those things, and it becomes so important as the key foundations. One of the things that I've basically been trying to, you know, promote internally is that being a male ally, you don't just turn a switch on your male ally for everyone. You have to start small as well, and there's no harm in that, because you know, eventually you'll start to take those steps into growing as an individual. So for me, there were sort of those three steps around ally for one, ally for many, ally for all. So yeah. Ally for one, that started off with Aleph. So it was like, okay. And it was a reciprocal thing. I didn't just go up and say, look, I'm going to be your male ally. It was just a nice organic, you know, we kind of got chatting and actually we had a lot in common. We had the same role, but different verticals. But we then started to like understand each other's strengths and weaknesses really well and how we could feed off each other. And then that then turned into a really beautiful relationship where, you know, we're like partners in crime now. It's incredible. And then from there, you then start to practice your male allyship to say, okay, what is it that you need, Aleph? You know, how can I support you? Or maybe it's the other way around. What help do I need that you can address as well? So it's that reciprocal thing that's very, very important. There's understanding the boundaries and the limitations, but you know, where that line's drawn, where it's like, look, Chris, you're being awfully nice. Is there something that you want? Or is there like a hidden agenda somewhere? I think that's just generally just communication that helps with that. But yeah, once you start small, you then start to expand. I'm certainly still at the ally to many. So I've got, a plethora of women in tech that I help support, and we work together on a constant basis. Whether that's through, you know, I wouldn't say what, it's kind of word of mouth a little bit, where it's like, look, Chris, Aleph tells me that you've helped her on something. Can you help me with this? There's certainly things where, you know, if you're in the right team and you're working on certain projects, then people lean on you for your experience, but then that builds a really good relationship as well. Obviously being Microsoft is a massive company, and I don't think I would, I really want to get to that ally to all. I really want to be that point of contact that literally anyone can just come to and I can help support and I could be the best that I could be and help other people. But, you know, being a massive, you know, hundreds of thousands of user, you know, in the business, it probably would never be that ally for all, but it's like that target that we all work towards as well, which, it's work in progress, but.
As I said, like with the charter that we created, I mean, how we did that was basically we just created a Teams meeting and started using the whiteboard and started throwing post-it notes. So we had like the four pillars, and then got everyone to submit their ideas to try and bring that all together. I mean, and what we did say as well, that, you know, you don't have to do you don't have to do all four pillars to basically become a male ally, as long as you're doing one of them.
Yeah.
So like being visible, for example,
then
you're doing the work that's required as a male ally. If you're just informed, and obviously you know all about the different things that are basically going on with the business, like our pay gap, reports, all that kind of stuff. Again, you know what's going on. You know how to help in that area. So if a female within the business is having issues, you can point them in the right direction. Or even if another male comes ask you that question, you can point them in the right direction.
Yeah. So it's not all of those four pillars to say, look, this qualifies you. It's just, you know, starting small, start with one pillar and then start to grow. It was really interesting as well, because Donna Sarkar mentioned something as well that stuck with me as well. She said, look, you know, we don't need absolutely everything. She said, it was just, you know, as long as you're the littlest of things really matter. So as long as you're present, sometimes that's all that matters to us. Yeah. And it's like, wow, okay, that makes perfect sense. You know, it's interesting, like those different dynamics of how to be, you know, on the tracks to be a male ally and how to, you know, obviously grow from there as well. I find that really inspirational.
Yeah, and obviously, you know, how Microsoft US operates and Microsoft UK, there is differences, but, you know, there's obviously many more diverse people in the US in Microsoft than there is in the UK. So her having that opinion as well, as a woman as well, because, you know, everyone knows Donna, hopefully. She's been on this podcast and she could have talked our ear off for a good 2-3 hours. And I know me and John really enjoyed that episode. But yeah, she's definitely someone that when she does speak, what comes out is always a message that makes you sort of thought provoking. It's always something that basically you go away, well, I just can't think about that.
Yeah, yeah.
You right there, John?
Yeah, cool. Sorry. Just so busy.
I know, it's horrible, isn't it? I mean, I've got loads to do, but no, I think
I'll just see loads of stuff just popping in, like notification galore.
I see that. So I've got obviously got my camera there on my home PC, and then my work laptop here. And I'm just like, I'll get around to that in a minute.
I know.
But now, I'm gonna ask you a question. So, obviously we spoke about obviously what I think, you know, the four pillars, not doing everything. What's the most key thing for you for being a Matt Ally?
I think for me it's there's a couple, but if I could really pinpoint one, it would probably be that I'm a bit of a I'm a helper. I really care about helping other people. I think that is probably one of the key pieces where a lot of the time in some organizations you will get a load of people that just want to help themselves. You know, you see it in like their reviews where there's a lot of I's and me's, I've done this, I've done that. And obviously that then feeds into, you know, sometimes it's a bit of toxic, you know, management as well, where it's like, look, I'm where I am because I've done this. I don't really follow that sort of process or that thought. And I think that's really helped me to be a good male ally, because, you know, a lot of the time when I'm helping a female colleague, there is that sort of assumption that I'm doing it for myself, and I've worked very, very hard to make them realize that there's not really much in it for me. Well, there is, because there's, you know, with the collaboration, there's joint success, but there's like a nice piece where I get my thrill, or I get out of bed to sort of help, you know, and be a really good role model. So I can help, you know, either whoever's like, you know, maybe I've got a bit of experience, I can help somebody through something, through a product or a service or solution. Maybe someone's asked me a licensing question, because that's where I started off. For me, it's kind of like, you know, being that point of contact and being that, you know, being that resource where people can lean on me, and, you know, where, and also the other way around, I can obviously, once I start talking with more people, I can then lean on them as well. But for me, it's building those really good relationships. But, you know, it's for me, that's the piece around helping, that kind of, I think that defines me more as a male ally, being approachable, not, you know, people not having the perception that I'm some scary, you know, technical specialist that's going to, you know, talk your ear off, or, you know, be like a grump, or just something like that. I think I've, for me, I think the perception is that I try and shock people as well, in that, oh, I never thought you'd be like this helpful, or this, you know, and it goes back to that irrelevance, because I don't really care who you are. But it is very important that I do understand that, you know, if you are female, if you are, you know, a woman in tech, that I still give you the courtesy. I still understand that, you know, we have come from a historical process of, okay, this is where we are now. I understand that the privilege still exists. I get that. So for me, like, baked into my complex, and it's, you know, my neuro, it's to be that really great support for me, for other people.
I think I'll wrap up this podcast with one final question. So if there was a new male ally, say, like, joining you at Microsoft, what advice and what experience would you basically give them to basically go out and learn the tools that you've learned to basically become the best that they can be?
Yeah, I mean, certainly, you know, be a member of the resource groups, like, understand what's happening with, you know, women in tech, you know, have a look at the posts, understand, you know, some of the challenges. More importantly, let's celebrate the success of our women as well in tech. That's very, very important. There's a lot of things that we can learn as male allies, obviously, as well as contributing as well. But yeah, definitely get involved with the resource groups. I really still like the idea of, look, you know, if you can pick one colleague, practice your ally to one, see how you get on. If it doesn't work, just, you know, it's not like fail once and then just give up. It's always, okay, well, we can try and find somebody else. Keep practicing that ally to one, see what works and what doesn't, you know, gather feedback, you know, see how things are going. I think that's very, very important.
Awesome. Well, Chris, thank you for joining us today. Today it's always good to, you know, speak about, you know, the male allyship, because I do a lot within my own organization. So it's nice to have people sharing their experiences as well from different organizations. Because what I'm going to do now, once I've edited this podcast, I'm going to post it internally, go and listen to this.
Yeah,
because it is important.
Yeah, massively. Yeah, no, it's great. I love the work that, you know, you guys are doing, and yeah, really happy to be on here, and yeah, it's been a privilege as always. It's been great to chat, yeah, if have any other sessions, yeah, bear me in mind. Yeah, not a problem.
Yes, I will do, don't you worry. Right, I'll wrap it up there. John, thanks for joining us.
All right, cheers. And, all. Thanks,
yeah,
Chris.
Cheers, guys. Yeah, no worries at all.
We'll speak all soon. Cheers.
Cool. Cheers, take care.
Bye. Thank you for listening to the Microsoft Spotlight podcast. Please make sure you hit that like, share and subscribe button to help us promote our message. You can also follow us on Twitter at MSFT Spotlight, and we're also on LinkedIn, the Microsoft Spotlight podcast. And finally, we'd like to tell you a little bit about BitTitan and thank them for sponsoring this podcast.
Remote migrations start here. Let MigrationWiz do the work for you. It's fast, secure, and 100% SaaS, which means you can migrate at any time and from anywhere. Migrate mailboxes, documents, public folders, personal archives, or even Microsoft Teams with just a few clicks. No special training needed, and no customer downtime. When the work matters, choose MigrationWiz.